Hello, Internet. This is Ewan Spence calling. Angel, I loved you like a popular angel. So let's live it up. I love Jukebox Jury.
John Denver once said, "My bags are packed, let's get ready to go." It's a bit like that as Eurovision is almost here, but not with John Denver. No, we have two judges, we have five songs. It is another Jukebox Jury here on the Eurovision Insight Podcast. I'm Ewan Spence, and joining me now, two Eurovision luminaries, men who have forgotten more about Eurovision than Lee Ryan has forgotten things that he's not allowed to say just in case he upsets the BBC press office. That list is very, very long. But we're not here to talk about Lee not mentioning the war. We're here to take five songs that will be on stage at this year's Eurovision Song Contest and decide, in the time-honoured tradition of shows that we've borrowed from the 60s that at least had an appearance of Katie Boyle in them, as a hit, a miss, or a maybe. First up, a new voice to Jukebox Jury. A man who's very delighted that he can actually pop in, as he asked me months ago, I think, "Can I get on? When can I get on?" And here we are, just before we all leave for Germany. He's a press officer for, in his words, a theatre company that we better not name. He's a man who is going to be out there in Germany doing nothing at all for that theatre company. It's Dean Asker. Hello, Dean.
Hello, Ewan.
So, Dean, why are you so important about Eurovision?
Well, I've been following Eurovision for years, absolutely years. My first Eurovision was in 1995, so it's about my 16th. And my first memory was of 1977, and I fell asleep. And I woke up the next day, and my mother told me that Rock Bottom had come second, and I was distraught. But, of course, I needed to get used to the UK coming second, if only we could come second nowadays.
So there we go. A man whose first Eurovision was 1995. Let's take those numbers, turn them around, and we get a man whose first Eurovision was 1959. Hello, Donald.
Well, it wasn't quite that old.
What was it?
1967 was the first one I actually remember. By the way, I forgot to say hello. So hello, Ewan.
Oh, hello then, Donald. And did we say hello, Dean?
We did say hello.
We did. Okay, we're fine then. And, well, hello to the listeners out there. Five tracks that we're going to go through in reverse order. It'll be Cyprus, Sweden, Belarus, Ukraine, and we'll be starting with Turkey in a moment. You will more than likely disagree with our judges. If so, that's fine. www.escinsight.com. While we take off our strike. Yusek Sadakat, which, of course, Dean, is Turkish for...
I've no idea.
Nope, it's Turkish for High Fidelity.
That's great.
Good. So, with the Nick Hornby tributes out the way, let's live it up with Turkey's entry from Yusek Sadaka. It really is Turkey by the numbers. They take all the money that they would normally spend on a national final, hand it to the favourite established band of the head of delegation, allegedly, ask them for their very own personal EP, and they'll choose their Eurovision song off that. But it's done them pretty well in previous years, hasn't it?
Yes, it works. When I first heard this, I wasn't quite convinced about it, but now I'm convinced it'll be another top five. Turkey, I don't think, really kind of bothered with Eurovision too much until the early 2000s, and now they can't put a foot wrong, and I think we're going to get another fantastic result for Turkey this year.
It's always an interesting one with Turkey, because people just go, oh, it's diaspora. But at the same time, it's not, because, Morvies, you only managed about 10th or 11th with this so-called diaspora, yet they finished second last year.
I think this year they're going through, regardless of diaspora. I absolutely love this song the first time I heard it, and I think it's going to appeal to a lot of viewers and listeners across the continent, because it just has it's a very similar sound to, I thought, 80s or 90s groups, and I was trying to think of who, but I can't put my finger on it, but it just sounds easily accessible, very westernized, with a bit of Eastern music in there. Although I was missing, after you said there was named High Fidelity in English, I was thinking, well, he doesn't sound like Doris Schwartz and the Kids from Fame, but fab song. Absolutely loved it from the moment I heard it. And I didn't really enjoy Manga last year, although I could see its appeal, but for me it just didn't do anything. And this one, I think, is just going to sail through to the final.
Just checking the paper, Morvieste managed 7th in 2008, not 11th, so they're slightly higher than that. I like them as well. And Morvieste, reasonably accessible rock. Manga, to be fair to them, wasn't as accessible as this was. So I think, I wonder if they'd switched it around, you know, if this would have beaten Lena last year. That's probably one that will always be one of the great what-ifs. But again, it's accessible. It's not fast rock. It's restrained in the tempo. It's good, clear enunciation. It doesn't go down the realms of thrash or scream or death or emo or whatever. They look good, and they're current. I mean, one of the things that people always say about Blues, oh, they'll be good on stage. They've had stadium experience. Well, not for a long time. Whereas Yuxek have, and it's current, and I think they're going to be just incredibly comfortable, and they're going to be a band that's not going to feel the pressure. I think this is clearly a top five in a crowded year.
Yeah, it's just a good modern pop song, a kind of, you know, rocky pop song. In the end, if a song is good of whatever genre it is, it's going to work. And I think it'll hoover up jury votes because they're taking it seriously. That's obviously the way juries want Eurovision to go. I think, you know, Schlager, all that kind of stuff, I love it. But it's, you know, it's never going to win Eurovision again, I don't think. This
and like Blue, and also like Dino Merlin, they've just done a song that they want to do. They've not went out and written a song for Eurovision. They've written a song for them, or Dino's written a song for Dino, Blue's written a song for Blue.
Yeah, and I think when you get the opportunity to just write your own song, as opposed to try and go through a national final or have to write, you know, a formulas type song, then you are in trouble. And I think that's what probably puts a lot of big artists off, because they're forced into, already you have to write a 3-minute song, and if there's any other restrictions on what you have to do, then it makes it very difficult to bring out the best in you. Whereas obviously just picking your own song, singing it in your own group, then fine, they'll go great.
There we go. So it's hit, miss, and maybe. This looks to be relatively clear cut, but we shall go through the motions. For me, I think this is a hit. Turkey don't even have to write to get out the semi-finals, to be honest. They just need to write a good song, and they've done that. And I think that honesty is going to show through on the night. It's going to be a good stage performance. For me, this is a hit.
It's a hit for me, although can I just say, from what Dean said just 2 seconds ago about Schlager never winning again, I think we just heard the sound of 2 Schlager boys jumping off a balcony somewhere.
Hi guys, still loving your work. Dean, hit, miss, or maybe?
It's a complete hit.
There we go. It's as simple as that, is it? 3 hits all around for Turkey, starting off a strong showing. Our 4 other songs, well, they can equal it and send it to deadlock, or they can fail miserably. Let's see what happens next with Mika Newton. Mika has, let's face it, a big problem with Eurovision fans. She's not Jamala. She is singing for the Ukraine, though, and she is singing Angel. Newton there for the Ukraine. Thankfully this year only sending 1 official song, but there is the appearance of a raid contest. The favourite fell at the last. They were going to run it again, then they didn't. Quite frankly, it's Ukraine by the numbers. Oh dear. Is this an oh dear?
It's a little bit of an oh dear. I was thinking, you know, if I was going to bed and I needed to knock a drop off quite quickly, this would be a song that would send me off to sleep quite quickly. It's fine. It's beautifully sung. She's a bit screechy at times, but Ukraine missed a golden opportunity with Jamala, which is a fantastically bonkers song, but so contemporary in many ways, and would have wiped the floor with virtually everything in the final. So I think Ukraine have just lost the plot a bit. They've gone for something very standard, very dull. It works and it'll get them a reasonable placing, but they could have done so much better.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they'd have sent Smile, it would have been the favourite, and it probably would have won. So quite why they didn't send it, I have no idea.
We could be evil and said, because it would very likely win.
Well, exactly. Ukraine have hosted the contest quite recently. Let somebody else host it now. I mean, if we're talking about this song, it's all right. The kind of new version that I hear there is okay. I suspect she's probably a very good singer, just like the girl that sang for Ukraine last year was. It could qualify, and it's not a bad song, but I would not choose to listen to it unless I kind of had to, I suppose.
The interesting thing there is, last year, Aliosh, everybody was saying the sort of same thing about the Ukraine song last year. She's like, she's a good singer, it's not bad. And I remember walking out of that tech rehearsal, and we all just kind of just went, that little bundle of rags in the red light, that really works. But I don't think this is the sort of song that can catch that lightning in a bottle again.
It's too bland, Ewan. It's really just, as you said, it's Eurovision by numbers or whatever you like to call it. I think it just doesn't... I didn't like the Aloysia song last year, but I could see it had something different about it, and it would appeal and it would stand out a bit more. This just will fade into the background, and no, I just not particularly enamoured with it. And particularly having watched Smile, which was so fantastic, it just feels like, why? What were you thinking of? So for me, do you want me to give my vote? Okay, I would say, for me personally, it's a miss.
I'm torn between a maybe and a miss as far as whether it'll get through. But
what makes it potentially a maybe then?
What makes it a maybe is I suspect the performance will be very good and very straightforward, no gimmicks, and I think it could get through. But for me, as a song, it is a miss, and I'm going to say a miss.
Going for the miss there. I think I have to go for a miss here as well. The song does have its good points. It makes Latvia's Aisha actually sound quite good, which is impressive for us long-term Eurovision listeners. But in the same mold as Aisha, this is like someone who's famous for being famous in the Ukraine. She's always in the tabloids. She's always getting into jolly scrapes and stuff and everything. And I think this is a risky career move for her personally, and I don't think that she can handle it live. And I'm just seeing a manufactured cookie cutter, off you go and go to Eurovision. And it's probably a shame for her, but you know, this is a big contest. It's going out to millions of people. There's national pride at stake, and I think it's a misstep, and it's a miss song, and it's a miss from me as well. So we go from hit, hit, hit to miss, miss, miss. So what does that leave for Belarus? Possibly the word controversial, maybe? Anastasia Vinikova, I Love Belarus. Let's see, huge amount of politics going on here, not just inside Eurovision, but in the European Parliament, United Nations, Americans, Axis of Evil as well. A song that is delightfully catchy with a huge amount of misplaced optimism. Dare I say it, it's Belarus by the numbers.
And it's going to sail through to the final and do very well, because UK viewers, for example, they just won't care about any of that. They'll just think it's pop, it's fun, it's Eurovision. And although I kind of think I shouldn't like it, I really do.
Yeah, there is that sort of, if it was I Love Chocolate or anything else that would fit in that song, you know, I love, you know, mince and tatties, I love bread and jam, it would be the catchiest dance floor filling song. But anybody who's paying attention to the world is going to have that little bit of the back of the head as they're driving. I think one of the judges said, I can remember driving along in my car and screaming at the top of my voice, I love Belarus, and then realizing what they were singing.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether it will sail through. I think it's a bit on the edge. I think no one will care less about the country or the controversial aspect. They'll just think, is it a good song or is it not? I think for me, first of all, it's not The Butterflies, which is a great disappointment because I loved The Butterflies last year and I'm very disappointed they came so low down. However,
if it wasn't for The Butterflies, we'd have been disastrously in last place.
Perfect. We deserve to be. Sorry if anyone from the BBC or Josh is listening, but I'm sorry, we did deserve to be in last place. This one, I am in two minds with it. It is poppy, it's catchy, and it reminds, it's like the Turkish one, it reminds me of something else. But the whole going on and on, I love Belarus, I love a Belarus, it's like, if you sell yourself, if you say it often enough, you might convince yourself. But I'm not sure many people really would like to go to Belarus and enjoy the hospitality they have on offer. But it's quite catchy, and it will get people bopping around. But I'm on the fence with it. I'm actually not sure it will qualify.
I think the public at home aren't going to focus on the politics. I think in that sense, they're going to go away and vote. I think the juries are probably going to have, let's be polite here, half an eye on their career. And I don't think, because of the nature of the song, that it's actually going to get jury votes, which in the semi-final puts it in a very tricky spot of only potentially being able to get score about 40 or 50 points, and you need about 50 or 60 to have a shot of getting that 10th place and getting through. So it's tricky.
Yeah, I agree, and I think, I suspect that, I don't know, which is Russia in the same semi-final? I don't know, but if anything around the sort of Russian area will be probably, the jury votes will not be voting for Belarus in any shape or form, and I suspect even the televoters might be put off by it. So we'll see.
I think if I remember correctly, it's in the second semi-final, which is where the UK gets to vote. Which, and again, you know, I'm going to say maybe on this one. I like the song. I like the fact that it's lovely and high energy. I think it's, you know, on its own, putting aside any sort of other considerations, it's great on the dance floor, and I have to congratulate them on being the only official video this year that was filmed inside one of the Cylon base ships from the new series of Battlestar Galactica. But at the same time, I don't think it has enough momentum to actually push it through. I don't think it's going to get good press, and I think you need that press, certainly in the semi-finals around the fans, just to get you over the line. I don't see that turning up, unfortunately, here from Anastasia. So for me, it just sits as a maybe.
It's a total hit. It's ironic in a way. I quite like that. I love that plinkety plonk. I love the fact that they had another song which was a similar song and they couldn't put that in and they had to rewrite this one. I think this is probably better. And I think viewers won't care two hoots about the politics of it. They'll just think, oh, that's quite fun. I'm having a drink. Yeah, I'll bet for that one. So it's a hit, hit, hit.
I'm going for maybe, I think, because it's poppy and catchy, but it doesn't quite go as far as I'd like. I do the. I had Dean played me the original choice yesterday, and that was fantastic and really should have gone through and would have done extremely well.
For those of you who keep me track, that was Born in Belarus, and it was. It was slightly slower, but just it had a little bit more passion that she managed to put into it. But anyway, Belarus is where they are now, with two maybes and a hit. It's far away ahead of Ukraine, but not quite matching Turkey. Two to go. Sweden. Days where I'm glad the Schlager boys are not jukebox jury judges on this episode. This is one of them. Eric Saad, singing popular. Whatever a psychologist will make of the name of the song, they would probably be right. Be someone before you're gone. I will be popular, I will be popular. I'm gonna get there. Popular, my body wants you, girl. My body wants you, girl. I get you when I'm popular. I put my hands up in the lights. You'll see me dancing for my life. I will be popular, I will be popular. I'm gonna get there. Popular. Where do we start with this one? Schlager. Yeah, everybody nods their head. Big gimmick. Yeah. Key change. Quiet spoken bit. Sweden by the numbers, Donald?
Yes, but it's fantastically, fabulously Schlager, and I love it.
And I think that's the big danger of this song. So much of the publicity leading up to the 2 weeks before the contest is written by fans, and they love their Schlager. Like you do, and I know Dean does as well, don't you, Dean?
Yes, I do, yeah.
But when it comes down to it, they're a very, very small percentage of the people who are voting it and listening to the contest. I think this is going to miss the mark. I think that when we get to the semi-finals, he's on the bubble. I'm not going to say he's not going to qualify because I'm not that stupid, but he's in exactly the same position as Anna Bergendahl was last year. He's in 10th or 11th.
No, you see, I don't think so. I think Anna Bergendahl was fairly bland and flaky, really. I think Popular stands out so much. The stage performance is fantastic. And once he gets going, it really comes alive and the whole schlager bit takes you over. And you think, this is just fabulous. This is going to get... it has to get through to the final. Otherwise, there's going to be mass suicides in Sweden. And it's already known for its high suicide rate.
Now, Donald, I'll come back to you in a second, but you have to take your emotional hat off and put your judge's hat on here. Because if he doesn't get that, this is fabulous in the first 30 seconds, the rest of the song just looks like Veruca Salt. I want, I want, I want, I want. It's I want to be popular. I want to be popular. I've got the big stage. I've got the muscle man. It's just layer upon layer upon layer of too much. And I think that people are just going to look at it and go, you know what? No.
I mean, I think the lyrics are ridiculous. I don't understand the lyrics at all. But I agree with Donald. I think, you know, I liked Anna Bergendahl last year, but you had to listen to that song about 10 times. You don't have to listen to this song 10 times. It wasn't my favourite Melody Festival and by a long way, but Sweden are playing safe. They're sending this song. How many more songs by Fredrik Kempe are they going to send? It's the new Paul Curtis. But I'm sure it will qualify, absolutely convinced it will qualify. I don't think it will do necessarily that well in the final, but it's a very well-structured Eurovision song. Certainly the UK will vote for it.
I think it's too clinical. For me, I'm going to put this as a maybe. I can see how it would go through to the finals. I can see how it would do top 10. I don't see it top 5. But at the same time, there's just something about my radar that says it's too much. So for me, and I will more than likely be proved wrong, but what I believe right now is this is only a maybe.
Yeah, there is part of me somewhere deep inside which is just has a little bit of a worry that somehow it may not get through, but I'm not sure why. I don't know whether it's the beginning, because it's quite weak at the beginning, and once he gets going, it's fine. But then also the glass shattering bit, there's a bit where you hear his voice without anything around it, and it sounds quite weak, and that could come across badly on the night. But for me, I'm going to say a hit.
The other danger I think that we will have here is that Eric is going to be in demand by all the parties and all the press in the week and a half leading up to that. There's going to be lots of people who will want him to sing, and he's going to have to, as all the artists do, he's going to have to be really careful of his voice. Because I think we said the same in the Jukebox Jury about Stella Mwangi. If you damage your voice, if you lose part of your vocal range at the start of the Eurovision fortnight, you never get it back. And I think Eric, more than any other artist, is the one who's likely to get struck down by voice strain. Exactly the same way as Niamh Kavanagh was last year. It's like, I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to say, voice is gone. And I think that could be the final deciding factor on whether Sweden make the final or not.
I mean, if this doesn't get through to the final, I won't be devastated. I won't be upset. It really doesn't bother me.
That's because you're not Swedish.
No, I mean, well, no. If I loved the song, if it was, say, Sanna Nielsen, I'd be really upset if it didn't get through to the final. But I'm sure it will. It's a hit, but if it doesn't get through to the final, hey-ho.
So there we go. Narrowly edging Belarus, Sweden leaves us just one maybe behind Turkey. They, of course, have three hits. Sweden picks up hit, and maybe one song to go in this round of Jukebox Jury. You can leave your comments back at www.escinsight.com, and we're on Twitter and Facebook as well. Come Monday, we'll be on the ground in Dusseldorf as well. But before that, let's find out what we make of Cyprus. San Agalos, Sagopasi, they're playing it completely safe this year. They're not sending somebody from Wales. They've got a Cypriot born and bred in the shape of Christos Mylordos.
Στο φως την ερημιά.
Christos Mylordas are singing I Loved You Like an Angel, Sanagalos Sagabasi. It's a slow emotional burn. There's a lift up at the end. There's a nicely buffed singer. Quite frankly, this is Grease by the numbers.
I think it's boring. I think the first minute is actually quite nice. And when I first heard it, I thought, oh, I quite like this. And then something happens at about 1 minute 24, and it just dies for me.
Hold on, that's incredibly priced at 1 minute 24. What happens then?
Just kind of somebody starts screeching. I mean, it's nice because it's Greek. It's in the Greek language. I mean, I loved last year's Cypriot song, but and I know it was written by Cypriots, but this just does nothing for me, I'm afraid. It just feels a bit worthy and a bit like, it's going nowhere. It's not getting through.
I think this song was more written to appease the Cypriot public than it was to actually be a good song at Eurovision.
Well, you think after last year, having a Welshman singing for them doing so well, they thought they'd better try and recover the situation. Because I'm with Dean on this. I think it starts quite nicely. It's very ethereal, very sort of, imagine mist over lakes and things like that. And then it turns into a complete mess, presumably at 1 minute 24. I didn't exactly time it. But and it just goes... It's just a complete disaster, and I would love Cyprus. Sorry, I'd love Cyprus to do well, you know, because Greece does well over the years, and I just think maybe Greece is not your turn, Cyprus. But this is just a palaver, really, in terms of a song, and I just think they should have just stuck with one type of song, the bit at the beginning, and had that all the way through, and that would have been quite nice.
I think I have to defend Christos there, because I actually quite enjoy this song. Not enough to give it a hit. Let's make that clear right now. But there's something restrained about this song that appeals to me. And yes, there is a screechy bit and everything, but it does create a lovely contrast with Christos there, just keeping it, being a typical man and just keeping everything in and just letting a tiny drip of emotion come out. I think their biggest problem is that Greece isn't their semi-final to vote for them, which means that they're going to struggle to find the number of votes to get through. But part of me really hopes that they do, because I think there is a promising song underneath here. And if they'd had another two or three drafts at it, and by that I mean quite vicious drafts, not, I know, let's edit the seventh Harry Potter book and see if JK likes our changes. A good, strong, serious edit on it could have made this a really strong contender. As it is, it does miss, it does just kind of drift off, and I think that will mean it's not going to get at the semi-finals. But I don't think it's as dire as you two guys are making out. Are you just trying to get me back for Man Boy, for Popular?
No, not at all. We were talking about it beforehand, and it was just, my God, this is really dire. And if I had a score lower than Miss, I would give it that, because I just think that I think if they'd stuck with one type of music and style then all the way through, whichever it was, whether it was the bit in the middle when it's all sort of a bit screechy, had they done that all the way through, or had they done the ethereal Irish lilty odd sort of ethnic-y soundy stuff at the beginning all the way through, that would have been fine. But just trying to merge the two together, it doesn't work for me. And I don't know, when you said he's sort of very restrained, I think he needs to be in a straitjacket.
Donald, just ask me one question. Is there any song in this year's Eurovision that you think is worse than Cyprus, or have I hit your 43rd?
No, I think this is right down there with, I'll have to come back to you on which is my worst one.
But this is very close to it.
Certainly is. I think even Portugal is better than this.
There we go. So it's a miss then, is it? He's looking over at me nodding. Yes, it's a miss. Don't even give me the microphone again. Okay. Dean.
There are far worse songs in this year's contest, because this year's song contest is weak. It is a very weak contest. This is an okay song. It's not in the league of like fantastic Cypriot songs like Aspro Mavro, which is obviously their best song ever, let's face it, because it was from the 80s, the best decade of Eurovision ever. But it's a miss. It is a miss, I'm afraid. You know, I hope they come back next year. I'd love Cyprus to win. They're like Malta, Iceland. I want them to win. But this is not going to do it for them.
I think we are in agreement there. So let's tot up the scores. In last place, Ukraine. And just checking that. Now, Donald, you said miss for both of them. Which is worse out of those two?
Oh, Cyprus, easily.
Okay, right then. But Cyprus has managed to score 6, only because I've stuck up for him there, with a maybe. We then go to third place, Belarus. Strange enough, the top three getting great scores here. Two maybes and a hit for Belarus puts it in third. Sweden has two hits and a maybe to put it in second. And Turkey swept the board at the start, never looked back. Hit, hit, hit for 36 points and a maximum score for Yüksek Sarıca. Simple question now to you guys. Given that, can Turkey win the whole thing?
No, because the United Kingdom's going to win by a mile.
Define a mile in Eurovision points.
Oh, about 65 points.
65-point hedging. Okay, can Turkey come second?
Yes, they probably will come second, because look at Manga last year. Didn't really have to try very hard, and I was thinking, that's going to come second, and it did. Yeah, I'm sure Turkey will be... I'll probably be second, yeah.
Second, there you go. So you have said, yeah, everybody out there can apply your own bias filter to what Dean has just said to work out what the actual answer was. Donald, do we have to apply the same bias to you?
Not quite the same. Yes, Turkey can win it, but they're not going to because France is going to win it.
Ooh, Dean's already saying no, but that is for another time. Both United Kingdom and France are going to be up in next week's jukebox jury, the big five, so they will duke it out with two more judges. For me, I do think Turkey can win this, but at the same time, I think there's about seven or eight countries that could clearly win the contest this year, and as we always have to remember, it's not the recorded version that counts. It's not the promo video that counts. It is 3 minutes on the night. All it takes is for a misplaced pyro, someone to trip, Sweden to leave a bit of glass on the stage strategically by mistake, and fortunes can change on a whim. Unlike previous years where it's been somebody's contest to lose, I think this year's it's up to seven or eight people to step up to the mark and go, we want to win it. And we're not going to know that. We're really not going to know that until the night, and that's what makes this year's contest that exciting. But could Turkey win it this year? I think they have all the right ingredients, and it just remains to be seen what Lady Luck will decide when we get to the Esprit Arena in Germany next month. It all remains for me now to say thank you to our older judge, who's now done two appearances, or maybe three appearances, Donald McNaughton. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ian.
To the very young and sprightly, I've just lost my judging virginity, Dean Asker.
Thank you very much.
And to the old hairy fart in the corner who does this twice a week forever and ever and ever. That's me and all you out there listening as well. www.escinsight.com. Dean, it is your first time, but you know what happens now, don't you?
Oh, there's some guitars or something. The Schlager boys would probably turn off now if there's guitars. Is that right?